All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to Matthew 24, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. I have been asked, I don't know, three or four times in the last couple of weeks, and I was asked the question just today by one of my grandchildren. And the question is this, when do you think the rapture is going to happen? Well, folks, if I knew that, you know, nobody knows that. The Lord said so. We do not know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We don't know when the trumpet is going to sound. Now, we have the promise that it's going to sound, but we don't know when that's going to happen. Now, if you'll look, please, at verse 2 of this chapter, Matthew 24, and let me read just one verse here, and then we're going to go over toward the end of the chapter and read a few things. But look at verse 2. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, what we find out in verse 1 is that the disciples were pointing out the kingdom the temple that they were hoping the Lord Jesus would sit in and establish his kingdom. All right, but it was not time for that. You'll remember in Acts chapter 1 when they were going up to the top of the Mount of Olives, the Lord Jesus said, they said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And the Lord said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath placed in his own power." You're not supposed to know that. I'm not going to share it with you. Of course, the Lord knew it, but he said, it's not for you to know. Now, if it wasn't for them to know, then it's not for me to know, all right? And so you say, "Pastor, when's the rapture going to happen?" I cannot tell you the answer to that. To be honest with you, I personally feel it's past due, all right? How many of you agree with me on that? Yeah, I think it's past due, but I don't run the show. And so, you know, it's kind of out of my hands. But you will notice here that they were pointing out to Jesus the temple, and they wanted to know from him. In verse 3, look at the last part of the verse, or last half. It says, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So they wanted to know, when is all of the last days' events going to happen? Now, the Lord tells them that they're not to know right now. Just plain and simple, they were not to know. You and I are not to know. What is our job? Our job is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every man. Our job is to spread the word of God. And we're not to be concerned with the date and the time when the Lord returns. We're only supposed to be concerned with getting as many people ready for that day as we possibly can. All right, so in verse 3, they wanted to know, "Lord, when's this going to happen? What will be a sign of your coming?" Now, in verse 4, all the way to the end of chapter 25, not just 24, but all the way to the end of 25, the Lord gives called the Olivet Discourse, and he is on the Mount of Olives with the disciples, and he gives this lesson to them, this message to them, and talks about the day of the Lord, when the time draws near, what we can expect. And several things here are given. It's just kind of a replay of what we're seeing right now in our world, if you want to know the truth. But look now at verse 42, and I want to show you something else from this, and then we'll get to the heart of what I want you to see tonight. All right, so look at verse 42. Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." You do not know what hour. All right, so this guy who says, well, the Lord's coming, on October 24th at 6:30 in the morning and blah, blah, blah. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Don't believe him. All right. You ever hear anybody say that they know when the Lord's coming back? Just mark them down as a nut. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. All right. Did I tell you all what Dr. Smith did? I think I did. I think I told you. But that guy that was making all the promises that the Lord was coming back on such and such a day, and he had all kinds of radio stations and all kinds of buildings and all this stuff. And Dr. Smith wrote him a letter and said, "I would like for you to sign a letter giving all your assets and all of your radio stations to the sword of the Lord. And if the Lord comes, then I'll shake your hand and apologize when we get to heaven. But if the Lord doesn't come, then the day after you said he was coming, we, the sword, will take control of all your assets." And he did not take Dr. Smith up on his offer. But folks, listen, there have been people who have been saying for years and years and years, setting dates and setting times and saying this is when it's going to happen and this is how it's going to happen. And Jesus very plainly says in verse 42 that nobody knows what hour the Lord is coming. He said in verse 44, "Therefore be ye also," what's the next word? "Ready." All right. "For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season?" And then look down, please, at verse 48. And in verse 48, it says, "But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So notice, folks, that the Lord says in verse 48 that there will be in the last days those who will say, "My Lord delayeth his coming." Now, folks, let me just remind you, we have promise after promise after promise that Jesus is coming again. We know that the Bible tells us not just once, but over and over and over and over that Jesus is coming again. He came the first time 2,000 years ago as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And now he is coming a second time, and he will come this time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and will bring judgment and wrath with him when he comes. So we have the promises in the Bible. Now the disciples said in verse 3, "Tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And then you've got in verse 48, the Lord saying that there are going to be those who are going to say, "My Lord delayeth his coming." Folks, don't get discouraged because the Lord Jesus has not yet come back. Don't get discouraged about that. You say, "Well, Pastor, why is the Lord taking so long to get back?" Well, it could be because of his grace and his love for the unsaved. It could be that the Lord is delaying his return to give more and more people the opportunity to hear the gospel and receive Christ as their Savior. Now, the sad thing is, so many churches today are not involved in soul winning. They do not have a soul winning program. They do not have any kind of an outreach program, and there's very little hope that they're going to get one started. And so it's kind of a catch-22. The Lord wants people to get saved. It may be he is delaying his coming so that people will have the opportunity to get saved. But then on the other side, you've got so much apathy in the church today that it's difficult to get folks to realize the importance of telling others about the Lord. All right, now take your Bible, please, and go over to the book of 2 Peter for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. All right, look down, please, to verse 3. Chapter 3 and verse 3. And Peter says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" Now, Peter says, in the last days, this is what you're going to hear from the scoffers, from the doubters, from the skeptics, from the critics. This is what you're going to hear. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, that's the church fathers and the Old Testament fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the rest. So since all the heroes of the past have fallen asleep, in other words, died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So in other words, God's not in anything, all right? God's not in anything. God has disappeared from the scene. Well, folks, he hasn't disappeared from the scene. That's just it. I mean, all you got to do is look around you and you can see the hand of God at work. Just this week, out in Nebraska, and on that Wednesday night service, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and two precious souls raise their hand and then walk down to the front of the church and get on their knees and trust the Lord as their personal Savior. Folks, I didn't do anything to move those people and get them down to the front of the church to receive Christ. No, it was the Holy Spirit of God that did that. And so God is still working. And we need to realize that God is still working so that we can let Him work through us. And so, but here's what the scoffer will say. He'll say, where's the promise of His coming? Now look at verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Well, we're certainly seeing that ignorance, aren't we? All right? You're not going to hear Noah's flood taught in school. All right? You're not going to hear that. They will skirt that. They will go all the way around it, even though there is worldwide evidence of a flood. Worldwide evidence. It's not just here and there. It's everywhere. And yet, you won't hear that discussed. Oh, no. Can't allow that to enter into the conversation. But verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. So in other words, folks, God is not bound. God is not tied to time. You and I are. Everything we do, think about it. Everything we do has us bound to the clock. Everything. All right, we start work at a certain time, and we get up at a certain time. We all have these little gadgets and gizmos that ring or vibrate or just talk to us and say, hey, dummy, get up, all right? And we're bound by time. Everything we do, we are bound by time. But God is not bound by time. You cannot take God and put God in a box. One day with the Lord is as a thousand years to us. And a thousand years to us is just as one day to God. God is not bound by time. So we sit here and we say, wow, I sure wish the Lord would hurry up and get back. We're all saying that. We're all saying that. But folks, God is not bound by time. Now, let's take that and let's tie in Abraham from 2 weeks ago. Let's tie Abraham in on the promise that God gave him. All the way back in chapter 12 of Genesis, when Abraham was in the prime of his life, God promised him a son. God told him that he and Sarah we're going to have a child, and that all the earth would be blessed in that child. Now, what did God do? Well, He waited, and He waited, and He waited, and He waited, and He waited until, as far as Abraham was concerned, and as far as Sarah was concerned, the probability of them having a child was zero. Both of them gave testimony, and it is recorded in the book of Genesis. Both of them said that there's no way we can have a child. Abraham said, I am old, and physically I am dead. He said, I cannot have a baby. I cannot do it. I cannot produce a baby. Then Sarah, she said the same thing. She said, I'm old. I am well past the time of having a child. I cannot have a child. And she was dead serious. And Abraham was dead serious. But God, although he made the promise years ago, remember, 1 year to God is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as 1 day. And God made the promise way back there. But now all these years have passed. And now Abraham is 100 years old. And Sarah is 90 years old. And that is when God gave them their child. You see, folks, God is not bound by time like we are. He is just not. So you can't get weary in well-doing, Christian. That's the point. You can't get discouraged and say, oh, what's the use? This world's too big a mess. No. You serve a God who has said, you don't know when my son is coming back. You don't know when my son is going to step out on the clouds and rapture the church to heaven. No man knows the day nor the hour when that's going to happen, but it is going to happen. And so what you need to do is be ready. You be ready. You live your life as if the trumpet could sound at any moment. And if it did, you would not be ashamed to stand before God. Amen. Amen. All right. So God has shown that that he does things in his own time. God does things in his own time. All right. Turn to the book of Galatians for just a moment. Galatians. Chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4. Look, please, at verse 4. And Paul says to the church, but when the fullness of the time was come, when the fullness of the time was come. Now, what does that mean? That means that when God was good and ready. That's what that means. You got to remember, folks, they were crying for their Messiah all back through the Old Testament. They had that promise in Genesis 3:15. They knew he was coming. And they were crying out for him. By the way, they're over there crying out for him right now. They are standing at the Wailing Wall and praying for their Messiah to come, because they know that things are heating up over there. I know several of you have spoken to me about getting an Israel trip together, and folks, I promise you that as soon as it's safe and as soon as they open up the country over there, that I'll look at it and see what we can do. But you don't want to go over there right now. You just trust me. You don't want to go over there right now because it is a powder keg. It is ready to blow. And they're having all kinds of political difficulties. They cannot get a government established. They cannot get their leader, their prime minister. They cannot get that all settled, and they're in total chaos politically. And then you've got Iran and the two proxy nations, Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Gaza, and they are shooting rockets over into Israel, and Israel is retaliating with every rocket they send. Israel has the means to see exactly where that rocket was fired, and before they can get out of the building, F-16s level that building. All right, but they just keep moving stuff around. They just keep moving stuff around. You say, well, don't they know they're going to get killed? Yes. But they don't care. They're going to their 72 Virginians. All right? Virgins, I mean. All right? They don't care. If they die a martyr's death, then they get their 72 virgins. And so, folks, listen, it's heating up. It's heating up over there. It's heating up in the right spot. And we need to realize that it's heating up over there. And so, here in verse 4, look at it. But when the fullness of the time was come, in other words, when the time was right, look at what God did. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So what did the Lord do? Well, I'll tell you what he did in his direct time. By his control, by his authority. And folks, God is still in authority. God is still on the throne. And we need to realize that everything is just fine and dandy. Now, don't get all out of sorts and thinking that, oh my, the world is just in total chaos. Well, it may be in total chaos, folks, but I'm telling you, God is in complete control. Peter said those scoffers will stand up in the last days and they'll say, well, where is the promise of his coming? Well, we're hearing that. We're hearing the liberals stand up and they want to know, what about all those promises that Jesus made about him coming again? Where is he? Where is he? And they have just literally done everything in their power to discredit the promises of the rapture of the church. But folks, don't listen to it. Don't fall for it. And so, when shall these things be? That's what the disciples wanted to know. When shall these things be? And folks, I'm telling you, they're going to be when God says it's time. Just as in verse 4 of Galatians 4, when the fullness of the time was come, when the fullness of this time is come, God is going to send his son to get his bride. You just mark it down. It's going to happen just as sure as you and I are sitting here tonight. And that is a promise from God Almighty. Now, go back to Matthew for just a moment, and let me point out a couple of things Jesus said were coming. Just a couple of things from this message that the Lord gave. All right, Matthew 24, and notice, if you will, let's begin in verse 4. It says, and Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and I shall deceive many. Now, there have been false Christ, you know. Now, we've been looking on Wednesday nights at pictures of Jesus in the book of Genesis. Well, there are many through the centuries who have been pictures of the devil, in that they have said that they were the anointed, the Christ. And they weren't. They aren't. I mean, there were those in our Lord's day that claimed to be the Messiah. And they claimed a power to deliver Israel from Roman authority. Now, it never happened, of course, but because they weren't the Messiah. But the Lord, when he came, proved that he was the Messiah, and yet they executed him on the cross anyway. So So folks, the point here is, Jesus said, when we get down to the last days, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to happen. And you're going to see these things. You're going to see them happen. All right, what are they? Well, many shall say, I am Christ, and shall deceive. And then in verse 6, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And then in verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Now, in Luke's gospel, when Luke quoted what Jesus said, Luke said that there will be great earthquakes in the last days. Well, folks, that's what we're seeing. I don't know if you've been paying attention or not, but in the last month, every day, there has been an earthquake somewhere. Japan has just about swallowed itself up. I mean, seriously, whole cities have been destroyed in Japan. Up in Iceland, you've got lava just pouring out of the ground in several places. Earthquakes all the time up there. And then out in California, they're having earthquakes just one after another. They're all small as earthquakes go at this time. But listen, the big one can be just around the corner. Somebody said that that would not be surprised at all if that fault line didn't just fall off into the ocean and just take Hollywood and all the rest of it with them into the ocean and let them be swimming back and out of the ocean, and maybe that would get some attention. I doubt it. These people are so consumed with themselves that they're not going to listen to a thing. And so, I don't know, folks. You tell me, are we close? I think we are. But my point is, don't get weary in well-doing. God takes his time. He did it with the first 2,000 years and was patient and tolerated stuff. And it gave them every opportunity in the world to repent. He called Enoch a preacher of righteousness. He called Enoch a man that preached on the second coming of Christ and warned people about the judgment that was coming in that second coming. So folks, listen, God takes his time on all of this. And so we can't get weary in well-doing and just say, well, what's the use? Well, there's plenty of use, because folks still need to be saved. And so the Lord says to these disciples that all these amazing things, when you start seeing these things, then you'll know. Now, look at, please, in, let's see, look at verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now watch this. However, all right, look at this. See, Jesus is saying this now. See that you be not, what? Hey. Did you hear that advice? Did the Lord just speak to your heart? Hey, don't be troubled, Christian. Don't be troubled. When you see all this stuff that is going on in our world today, when you see the hatred for God, the hatred for truth, when you see all of this wickedness and the agendas that are being shoved down all of our throats, whether we like it or not, well, I'm telling you, folks, I'm not going to say birthing people's day. I'm just not going to say that. All right, it's Mother's Day. Amen. All right, I'm not going to this gender neutral garbage. Fooey on all that. Male and female created he them. All right? I'm going to stick with a book. Do you guys remember several years ago when we brought a revised constitution and bylaws in here for you to vote on? Many of you were here at that time. And the reason we revised it was because we put in our statement of faith what we believe about all of this perversion that's going on today. Because we looked down the road and could see where we're headed. And so we put in there that our church will not allow homosexuals to be members of this church. We're not going to hire them on the staff. We're not going to hire them in our Christian school. And so we put it in our constitution based upon the authority of the Bible, and all of us collectively voted on it. So we're kind of hoping that the Supreme Court, if the day ever comes when they come in here and say, what'd you say on Birthing Persons Day? You know, May 9th, 2021, what'd you say? What'd you say in that evening service? Well, you can't say that. Well, we're going to shut you down. Well, we're going to end up in the Supreme Court if you do. Because we're not stopping until we get there. And let's just hope and pray that the woke supreme culture of our country will stand up and for once do what's right and go along with the Christians in this country. But folks, if that doesn't happen, hey, we just keep standing. All right? You know, in the summertime, we'll just meet back here under a tent if we have to. All right? If they bulldoze the property, bulldoze the buildings down because we won't comply, we'll just go back here on the property and put up a tent and we'll have church there. But we're not going to bow down and kowtow to a bunch of perverts. We're not going to do it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right, that's my rant of the evening. In due time, folks, in due time. Now listen, the Lord said he's going to come back. He's going to come again, but it's in due time. So don't get weary in well-doing. When he comes again, he's going to fix it. All right? Yeah. He's going to fix it. And so, and believe me, it needs fixed. Amen. So just keep pressing on and keep looking to the Lord and keep trusting the Lord. In due time, the Lord Jesus is going to take care of all these problems that are in our world today. The Lord is going to take care of all this socialism and this communism. The Lord is going to take care of all this false teaching that is going on today. And the Lord is going to take care of all this hatred of the truth and all of this political correctness and this woke culture and the cancel culture and the racial divides that they are constantly stirring and pitting one group of people against another group of people. That's all they do anymore. And all of it is one day going to be fixed. And our Lord is going to fix it. Folks, that is why the Bible calls Jesus, when he comes at the return, at the end of the tribulation to set up his kingdom. This is why when John turned and saw the Lord coming out of heaven, he said that he had a banner that read, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, we've had plenty of kings, but they've not been able to fix anything, have they? You see, we're still in a mess. But this king, the Lord Jesus, he's going to fix it. He will be the only one who can fix this old broken world. So, folks, what are we supposed to do before he comes. What are we supposed to do? Well, we're just to keep preaching the gospel. Just keep teaching and preaching the Bible. We're to stay faithful and not grow weary in well-doing. My job is to keep showing you God's plan and how that plan is going to unfold. Our job is to be faithful and to keep winning people to Christ. My job is to preach the word, and then the Holy Spirit's job is to take that word and allow the word of God to do its work. My job is not, listen to me now, my job is not to fight against the spread of communism. My job is to preach the word, and God Almighty can take care of the communism thing. My job is not to be waving the banner for conservatism. My job is to get in this book and teach and train you what this book has to say. Now, if you get this book in you, you're going to be conservative, and you're going to vote the right way. But my job is to get you the book. We cannot get sidetracked as we draw closer and closer to our Lord's return. Folks, God is going to take care of all things in His own time and in His own way. And we cannot allow ourselves to get away from building the church and winning people to Jesus simply because we're trying to change the conditions around this world in which we live, which the Lord says must come to pass. These conditions must come to pass. Does that make sense to you? Now, folks, I didn't write this. Jesus wrote it. And He said it must. These things must come to pass. So they're going to happen. We got eyes. We can read the Bible. It's right in front of us. We can read it. But why won't we believe it? I don't know what we're going to do. And we just whine and complain. Listen, God's in control, folks. So let's just let God be God. One more verse. Let me show you one more verse. Go over to the Gospel of Luke for just a moment. Luke chapter 9. Everybody follow me all right? Luke chapter 9. All right? I want you to look at the end of this chapter. Look at verse 58. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus basically is saying this, hey, look, bud, there are plenty of people available to bury the dead. Now, he's not being mean and he's not being unkind. He's making a point. He's making a point. And he says, follow me. Well, I would, but, Lord, I got to go bury my father. It kind of gives you the implication that daddy's not dead yet. You know, he's going to go back and sit at the house until dad dies, and then he'll follow. Well, if he's going to wait, I doubt he's going to follow even after dad passes. Nod your heads. Yeah, you know that's right, don't you? All right? And so Jesus says to that fella, listen, there are plenty of people available to bury the dead, but only a rare few who are available to preach the kingdom of God. You see, folks, it's the Lord Jesus who is going to fix everything. All right? Let's let him do what he says he's going to do. You and I need to do what he tells us to do. And you know what he tells us to do? Follow me. Follow me. All right, let's pray together. Well, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this passage, all these passages that we have looked at tonight, tried to tie them all together. And Father, I ask you to help us tonight to see the connection, to see that you do things in your own time. You have a plan, and Father, that plan is going to be executed. It will be carried out. And yet, we look at the world and we think that everything is out of kilter. But Father, you said that it would be like this. In the last days, you said it would be like this. So Father, help us to follow you. When we see all these things, Father, that ought to encourage us. That ought to help us to realize that, man, the day of the Lord is surely at hand. So Father, I pray you'll give us strength and boldness and courage to just stand for you and to not allow all this that's happening to discourage us or to dissuade us from being excited about what is just ahead. When are you coming to get us? Well, I don't know. I wish it is soon. I hope it is soon. I pray it is soon. But Father, I know that you've made the promise, so you will be here in the fullness of the time. So bless the word of God to our hearts tonight and help us to follow you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.